This is George Orlando speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We're happy to greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many famous places dot the surface of the earth, locations of historic interest, the birthplace of presidents, premiers, scientists, and statesmen, or places where crimes and desperate deeds were committed. Famous battlefields abound: Thermopylae, Tours, Waterloo, Gettysburg, the Marne. Then there are places of natural interest: mighty Niagara and mightier Victoria, Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, Yosemite, and scores of others. Places of scientific interest abound: the North and South Poles, the magnetic poles, and storm centers are but a few. But we want to speak of a place more famous than any or all of those already mentioned, the place called Calvary. Of it we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We assert without fear of contradiction that the most famous place in the world and in all history is the place called Calvary. It is the storm center of the moral universe, for there God caused to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. All the billows rolled on Jesus. There they spent their utmost power. Calvary is the magnetic center of the same universe, as expressed in the words of the one who died there. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Calvary is the scene of the greatest battle of all time, where the strong man Satan was defeated by the stronger, the mighty Son of God. Calvary is the place of the most notable death and the scene of the foulest and most dastardly crime which ever stained the pages of history. And Calvary is the place where every blessing was secured for the repentant sinners of Adam's fallen race. May we enumerate several features of the place called Calvary. First, Calvary is the place of prophetic fulfillment. From the first promise in Genesis 3:15 of the seed of the woman who, though his heel should be bruised by the serpent, would ultimately bruise the head of that same serpent, all through the Old Testament, hundreds of prophecies pointed to Calvary. The offerings and sacrifices of the Levitical worship, the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, like divine fingerboards, pointed to the place called Calvary. There the prophecies of centuries were fulfilled in a day. There was a point in time where the purposes of eternity were wrought out. Well may we sing, O mystery of mysteries, of life and death the tree, center of two eternities, which look with rapt adoring eyes onward and back to thee. We would next have you notice that Calvary is the place where the heart of man was fully revealed. Would you know what is inside man? You need not go to the psychiatrist or read the philosophies of earth, nor dabble with the occult. Go instead to Calvary. There the unregenerate heart of man is analyzed. There you see merciless envy, for Pilate knew that for envy the people had delivered up Jesus. There was pride in full bloom, religious and self-righteous pride, which resented the Nazarene's exposure of his empty forms and lifeless character. There was cold, callous, calculated cruelty in the smiting, the scourging, the thorns, the nails, the spear. Blasphemy was another sin displayed at Calvary, in the ribald raillery and insulting taunts of both Jew and Gentile. The hatred of the human heart was also abundantly manifested. The hatred of the religious world, seen in the chief priests and elders, scribes and Pharisees. the hatred of the political world in the cruelties of the Roman soldiery, the hatred of the intellectual world, those addressed by the Greek inscription on the cross, and to whom the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Lawlessness was likewise seen in the mockery of a trial, where every canon of justice was violated, and the anarchy of the creature against the Creator was displayed in the cry, "Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to rule over us!" The murder that lurked within the human breast there sallied forth, for no other term than murder so adequately describes the crime committed. And that of all was unbelief, the latent infidelity of the human heart, hurling the lie in the face of the Son of God, truth incarnate. Behold this octave of iniquity. When taking my visiting friends over the battlefield of Gettysburg, I always stop at the Bloody Angle and at the High Water Mark Monument, that spot where the rebellion reached its crest. And I always remind the guests of another Bloody Angle, the place called Calvary, which marked the crest of man's rebellion against his Maker, the high water mark of human sin. And let us not forget that the humanity of today was fully revealed at Calvary. This world still hates Christ. Pride, deadly pride, still fills the hearts of men. The pride that refuses to take the sinner's place before the Savior. This earth is still the habitation of cruelty, as the past few years have revealed. Man is still murderous, lawless, and filled with unbelief. Nay more, each one can truthfully say, "My heart was fully exposed at the place called Calvary." As that great sinner, later a great saint, John Newton wrote, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object met my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree, in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me, as near the cross I stood. My conscience felt and owned my guilt, and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there." Not only was man's heart revealed, but also at Calvary was the place where the heart of God was fully revealed. God is light, and his holiness, righteousness, and justice were fully honored at the cross. There his hatred of sin was seen as it is nowhere else seen, even in the fires of hell. To think that God spared not his only Son, when that Son took the sinner's place, your place and mine. There all the waves and billows of divine judgment broke upon him, and brought forth the awful cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But God is also love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, the mystery of God's love! The more we see of what we are and were as sinners, the more we marvel at the love that gave his Son to die for us. And oh, the might as well as the mystery of that love! Surely we agree with the poet, "Love that no tongue can teach, love that no thought can reach, no love like his. God is its blessed source, death ne'er could stop its course, nothing can stay its course, matchless it is." We notice next that Calvary was a place of wonderful salvation. Behold one of the thieves, his life wasted in the career of crime, all possibility of salvation by works denied him, if indeed salvation were by that means, as we know it is not. Now on the brink of a lost eternity, rebuking his evil companion with the words, Didst thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Then, as the icy hand of death is reaching out to claim his soul, he turns to the one on the central cross and casts himself upon the mercy of the sin-bearer with the words, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Would such a plea go unanswered? Listen as the words of grace fall on his dying ears. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Saved in the last hour of his life, free from the gallows to the glory. A thief in paradise. There the Lord Jesus saw the first fruits of the travail of his soul, and matchless grace, what was seen there. And now the remainder of Newton's poem, a second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. But lest any should presume upon his grace, we must warn you that Calvary was the place of inescapable condemnation. Not one thief but two were executed there. The other died in his sins. His language was, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. But if is not in the vocabulary of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One thief went to heaven, a redeemed sinner. The other went to hell, a Christ rejecter. And Calvary was the place of transforming vision. Think of what the repentant thief saw. One moment hell yawning to receive him, the next paradise opening to become his eternal home. And dear friends, you may benefit by that which took place at Calvary. You will be saved if you put your faith in the one who died on that cross. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.